Well, I want to just take a look at this. I want to start in Psalms 91. I'm going to read through it. In fact is, who has a Bible that wants to read Psalms 91 in the King James? And while you're doing that, I'm going to be following you along and maybe just put a little highlights out of the Amplified. So who would like to... Okay, honey. You might want to come up. And Luann, put her on the orange mic. Huh? No. No, you stay right up here. You know why? Because it won't pick up real good back there.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
One, honey. One, two, three, four.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
Keep going. Go right down through the end of the chapter.
Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about this. Some mama had a boy in the Iraq, or it was one of the, I don't know if it was in Iraq or if it was in Afghanistan or if it was Desert Storm, but in the Middle East. And God inspired her to send this psalm to her son. And this just shows us how a little bit of simple obedience will, what God can do with any of us. And it actually became a common encouragement to our people in the Middle East during wartime. And you wouldn't think that this would be a wartime psalm. But, you know, how much more oppressed could you be than in a war? And where could you ever get words of encouragement? Well, we're winning the war, but I still have to kill people. I mean, the war is a horrible thing. It does a terrible thing to the soul of a man. Or a woman that's there. And then to have somebody that's just an ordinary person, just like you and me, wants to give her son or daughter encouragement and sends them a psalm out of the book of Psalms. And this was my mama's favorite psalm. Actually read it at her funeral. It says in 11, just let me go up a little bit and read a little bit on the with the Amplified. And verse 10, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plagues or calamities come near your tent. For he will give his angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. That's pretty cool. Meaning, your enemies you're going to trample underfoot. You know, there's things that we know, maybe that we don't have to use for a long time, we kind of forget, and we get stuck in a situation and circumstance, don't we? And we're being defeated, and we don't know why. Forgetting that He has given us all things that pertain unto God, and that we're to speak Him out of our mouth. That our prayers, He will hear our prayers, and He will answer them. That's the first part of Psalms 91. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy and love and kindness, trust, and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake, no, never forsake him. And what happens if a calamity comes to us of all sorts, and it could be in war, it would be you got shot or wounded real bad, or even had a bomb blow you up or whatever. What would we think that God has left us? What would be your opinion if it happened to you? That God don't love you. That God left you. Now, if you believe that, you won't go to Him in your time of trouble, in your time I won't name a lot of things that could happen, but anything could happen to any one of us at any time. It's a fact. We're not smart enough to save ourselves. You could go out and walk in the road and somebody just hit you on purpose. Not any fault of yours whatsoever. God won't let that happen. Well, I don't know if He will or not. What if it happened? He said He's going to give His angels charge over. What does that mean? Does circumstance determine whether He will or He won't? Please just listen to me. Will your circumstance dictate to you what you know about God? Can it? Does it? I'll give you another little for instance. I read a story tonight, and I didn't finish it all, but her baby got a disease in the kidneys from Jamaica, and it just so happened that her baby had this terrible, terrible, terrible cancer. And they actually got it into a place where it was in recession. And everybody was praying, everybody was giving hallelujahs, hallelujahs. And it came back again. Our first impression was to blame God. Because if we do everything that God tells us to do, it's got to happen just the way we understand it, right? Huh? That's what we would like to believe. That's even what we've been taught to believe. But the truth of the matter is, He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us, whether we live or die. And if we can raise our trust in Him, that it makes no difference whether I'm alive or dead, I am not going to be departed from my Savior. Uh-huh. He wants to instill that within us in such a way that we just won't let go of Him. And in doing so, you'll see He will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. And so he just rocking my boat, because we can get common sense and logic of the world that interferes with our ability to comprehend all that He is. And he shall call upon me in the 15th verse, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Did it say in trouble? It did. Isn't it? Out of trouble? Never have trouble? Don't know what trouble is? No. Well, we're there. He's going to be there. And He's listening to what Mama's praying. Could be. But who has to be identified here? Is this a personal thing? Can Mom and Daddy do it for you? Not once you're of age. Can they be responsible for you? Can anybody else be responsible for you? What did He say I will do? I will deliver him and I will honor him. So we have something to look forward to, don't we? We have something to just hang on to. And this is what He said. And I'll do this, 16, honey, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Not something I've mustered up. Not something that I can do. Much greater than that. Far beyond that. What He can do. What He has determined. Isn't that kind of good? Isn't that good? Huh? Glory to God. I told you I'm going to give you a real good, uplifting message today. Honey, would you turn to my notes again? Go to the notepad. Hallelujah. And in Job there, he talks about a length of days. And you can go to it. But he's basically talking to Job about... He gives the length of days. He's explaining to Job that it's in His power to do it for you. How many want to live long on this earth? How many want to live past this earth? How many want to know that doesn't make any difference what might come your way to your kids or to anything else, that there is a place in God that no one can take you out of? Hallelujah. And so, you know, I get excited because what do you get excited about? Are you excited about this? You know, Al gets excited about fishing, but not all the time. Only when they're biting. And so that's kind of like me. I just want you to see, can you get this for yourself? Can you take this as a message for you? And that it would be, as you imply it, as you apply it, that it can become activated in your life and go beyond where you are, go beyond your circumstances, and give you an increase of faith in you that you can speak into circumstances and God will hear what you have to say. And this is what He will do with it. He will see to it that long life is coming your way or their way. With the ancient is wisdom. And in length of days is understanding. So he's, because Job here was, he was in a trial, I mean, to tell you. He was in trouble. In fact, he was in so much trouble, he said, nobody will believe me. He said, the righteous are forsaken, and the evil and the wicked are reigning. They're being blessed. How many are where are you at tonight? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about, Jerry? Going home?
No.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm just wondering. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about, Karen, right now? Ah. What are you thinking about, Gordy? Why are we coming and studying? Why are we wanting to learn more? What are we doing? What's it for? Some religious obligation? Forget it. No, it's an experience where these words become our words. Where this understanding becomes our understanding. Where we can begin to be useful. Where we can take it from a knowledge to an understanding. Where we can say with these little boys here, you don't know what might happen because they're singing up here. We may have to put up with some stuff. That's all right. But 10 years down the road, when decisions have to be made, and God is in their life, and now they can make decisions that they could have never made had not there been someone that will love you enough to let you do and let you become a part of a body of people. Very, very important. Hallelujah. And more important than probably we can even begin to understand. Okay, honey, pull it up again. I'm just going to kind of leap because if I go to Job, you're not going to like all that he has to say there. Hallelujah. And I'm just, my desire is to let you see that you can have a length of days that no matter in your circumstances, no matter where you are, you can begin to take this word today and tomorrow and the next day and be encouraged with it. And you will see it because you believe it. You can help other people and give them some courage and give them some encouragement. And what it will do for you is it will lift you up higher. It will give you what you're really living on earth for. Hallelujah. Gordon, you're working with kids right now in the school, are you? Or are you just going to see? Are you helping? Are you helping with the sports at all right now? Okay. What's your purpose? And track. I know you like it. What's the purpose for it? Is it to teach kids how to run? Okay, so that's all got a part of something that you're going to accomplish, right? So, what's your function? But what will that ever produce? It begins to work on character. It also shows that you care. And so, why not give them a little God in the midst of it? Why not bring them to a purpose when you have a chance that gives them an eternal purpose? Because this is just for the meat. It's just an accomplishment that's been accomplished. It's a good thing. It's a real good thing. But God has put us there so that we can help people have a long life. So that we can help people have a fellowship with Jesus on their own when nobody else is there, he will look out after you. I guarantee you. He gives his angels charge over you. But I'll tell you what, he lives inside of you. And he says, if you pray, I will hear and answer your prayer. Now, you can either believe it or not believe it. And if you don't believe it, you aren't going to pray expecting an answer. And it's the same way when you're working in a workplace. Do you know how many people are hurting around you? Do you know how many people are hopeless around you and they've got a job every day? That's why we come to church. That's why we fellowship together. That's why I encourage the gifts of God to be in operation in the church. So that there can come a common bond of experience that now can reach beyond just one. Or two. And it's even though we're small, we can have a large influence. Because God is multitasking us. Honey, go to Psalms 2. And so this is asked for. I just kind of headed them out a little bit for you. Hallelujah. I think I want to just go up to 1, honey, first. And take a look at the second chapter of Psalms. And let me just take a look at it. And I'll get into King James here. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how great shall he rejoice. Honey, I'm in chapter 2. Is it 21? Okay. Go back to the notes so I can see it. Okay. I'm ahead of myself. Okay, go to 21 and start with. I got two in my head. Go to 2. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and has not withheld the request of his lips. Selah. What are you desiring? What do you want from God? Yeah, what do you want from God? Huh? Peace? Okay. What do you want from God? Luann?
Long life.
That's good. Hey, that's what we're talking about. That's pretty good. What do you want from God?
Healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Very good. Gordon, what do you want from God? See, I've got to get more personal with you guys. Gordy, what do you want from God? Okay. How do you think that's going to happen? Okay. That's wholesome. That's very wholesome. I do too. Right now, I want him to make sure that he heals me and keeps me strong. But also, above that, I want a relationship with him that's valid, that's live, that is always moving. And I really, I'm going to tell you that one of the things that how he moves me is I reach out to people just to take and listen to them. And in the midst of it, if there's anything that I can do or that I know that can help them, I do my best to do that. And do you know that it's so rewarding? Because if I've seen anything today, I've seen in our society, you need to go out on the street and just say, hey, how you doing today? I challenge you. I can do that. Say, well, not everybody can do that. Well, you're not being rude. You're really not.
I used to do it as a kid. I'd walk uptown and I'd say good morning or good afternoon to somebody, and they would turn around surprised that somebody had said something to them.
Good. And I'm going to challenge you to do that. And then listen to their cry. And you will see, now we're giving the God that's in us a chance to reach out of just us in our need. And given the God that's within us, now a chance of something that He's established within us to speak into someone else. An answer. Something good. Something wholesome. Something pure. For thou preventest him with the blessing of goodness and setteth a crown of pure gold on his head. Now, he's not talking about God. He's talking about God being set on your head. These are the gifts that God is giving us. Honey, the next one. 4. He asks life of thee, and thou giveth it him, even length of days forever. So, you know, when I'm talking about length of days, I know that in our flesh, but I'm telling you something. I'm older now. I don't look like I did 10 years ago. I look in the mirror, I don't even know who I am from 10 years ago. And if you want to be honest with yourself, it's going to come to a point where the same thing going to happen to you. So, it's not about me. It's not about how good I look. But there is something inside of me that has more valuable than just my personality and my person that you see and look at when you look at me. It's the understanding and the giftings of God and the faith of God that He's establishing continually within me that I can take and give to other people so that they can actually rise up from where they are and have hope. This country, they're crying because they're losing, but all they've been doing is borrowing money they didn't never have to take and take away from all those that ever gave. It's a plot. It's a wicked plot. But God's still in charge. And so, you don't think people know that? Think you have to go to college to know that? Absolutely not. They just don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to get relief. And so as Gordy said, I love all your answers, but I thought that was a very, very, very good answer. And now, what do we do to get it? And that's what I'm looking for. In this particular one, you have to ask for it. You have to want to go beyond yourself. You have to believe that this God of the universe lives inside of you and He can speak right through your mouth in a situation. He wants us to become the igniters all around us in the earth. And He's not trying to send people to hell. He came to save them. He didn't come to judge them. He came to save them. What knowledge wants to do is become a judge. But with experience, they're fools. Without experience, they don't know what to do with what they know. It's the experience, it's the tribulation that worketh patience, that worketh experience, that worketh out the ability now to know how to apply it, and then in mercy and grace. Because you see, you really, when you, if you do bring judgment, you want to bring correction. So that they can actually, you can enable them to do the thing that they couldn't do before. So you got to ask for it. Next one, Psalms 23. Start with the first verse. This is so good. Are you enjoying this? Are you? I'm enjoying it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us. Oh, where did you go? Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Are we already to there? He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for my name's sake. Let me tell you something. That's what people want to do. For my name's sake. Not my name's sake. For his name's sake. Well, I'm righteous. Well, no. You know what? Al, there's only one righteous, and I'm beginning to learn how to be right and be in right behavior with him, and you can learn that too. And in that dimension, we're righteous. 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And that's not whether we die necessarily in the flesh, although it could be. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, why would he do that? How many have had your table prepared for you in the presence of your enemy? I'll tell you, if you lead people, you'll know what that is for sure. Because a lot of people that you lead become your enemy. You know how they do it? They don't follow. They try to lead. Now they become your enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Let's go to the next one. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for a little while, until I get to heaven, and I get my own mansion, and I have my own motorcycle, and I have my own way of living. I'm going to tell you something. I won't mention any names, but somebody said they went to heaven and that's what God gave them. Now, just, I'm being serious. And people are eating it up. I mean, they're eating it up. And I don't know. I can't say right or wrong. I just think that the closer I get with God and the more I want Him and the more I want to be like Him, the less these other things mean to me. Isn't that right, Jerry? You want to live in a $500,000 home? No. You want to drive around what's a really expensive car? Not a Porsche, something a lot bigger than a Porsche. Lamborghini? You want to drive around a Lamborghini?
No, that's
my old car. Yeah. You know, you want to have $1 million? What's happened? It's not about things. It's about God so living inside of you. He has such a deposit inside of you that the only thing that you desire more than anything is Him living and dwelling and keeping you every day. And everything else is second place. I'm telling you. Closer you get to God, the more you'll know that I'm telling you the truth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God has chosen His temple and tabernacle to be in the very... He says the tabernacle of us is our body. And God's tabernacle is His church as a whole. Varied in so many different ways. But He has a temple inside of it. And He has chosen to dwell, to take His abode in every individual's heart, inner part. Now, the heart is the central location of your body. It has two dimensions. It's interpreted in two different ways in the Bible. First of all, it is interpreted as the central part of all that you are. And secondly, it's interpreted as your mind. And He is setting His head upon us. Gordy, it's not hard, it's not spooky or nothing, but as God, as the Spirit of the Lord speaks into your subconscious and it becomes conscious, and you begin to react and act on that, and then you watch and see what God will do. You do it by faith, and the next thing you know, faith comes alive. Nancy's got a real gift of healing, of being able to see things in the body. She's been with us long enough, I've watched her. It's a gift. But it could just be an imaginary gift. And it will be just an imaginary gift if you don't say something, if you don't be identified with it. But once you become identified with it, you can't believe what happens, even with your intelligent mind. Because God is doing things that we don't know even how it ever happened. But you have to ask for it. You've got to ask for these things. If you want from the Lord tonight, and you want what I'm talking about, you've got to ask God yourself for it. And you've got to believe that He will hear you. And as you do, hallelujah, and we do that all by faith, and then His goodness and His mercy. Hallelujah. His mercy never ends. His mercy is higher than judgment. He would rather have mercy than judgment. He never came on a judgment seat. He never sat on a crown. He never sat on a chair as a king. That's what they wanted Him to do. This is exactly what they wanted Him to do. And then whatever they said, that what they understood that they had a right to, they're going to tell Him now. It's your responsibility. Do what I say. Come on. Look at me. This is what they desired. This is what they really wanted. And here the Creator of all the universe was in their midst, and they crucified Him. All is the plan of God. But let me tell you something. Woe be to you if you become that, if that happens and you're on the other end. But instead of doing this, when He rose again, and He paid all of our debt that was required, He gave us an indwelling Spirit of God. My Lord Jesus. And the only way that He could do that, we could never pay for it, Gordy. He paid for it for us, and all we have to do is receive it and ask for it. And then He will begin to function in our lives even when we don't want Him to. I've been there. We've probably never been there, but I've been there. When, you know, He'd tell me to do something, I wouldn't do it. Has anybody ever been there but me? Why? Because we're not without brains. You know, we know we're going to get persecuted for this word. All these men, they wasn't persecuted because they were bad guys. They were persecuted because of what they were saying, that Jesus was Lord and Christ, and He was the God of all the universe, a God, and He was God of them. So His goodness and His mercy takes us in. It died for us. It shed His blood for us. It took us in. And now we have an indwelling Spirit of God if we ask the Lord. And then He will hear us. We need to be practicing on our prayers more. Go to Psalms 93:5. Holiness becomes thy house. Glory to God. Thy testimony are very sure. Honey, go up to one again. I just like to kind of bring it in together. The Lord reigneth. He clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. No matter what's going on, no matter what men may say, you can be sure of this. The earth is stable. Can't be moved. Not even by a man. Not even by a whole group of men. Not even by all the evil in all the universe. Thy throne is established of old, and Thou art from everlasting. See that establishing there? The floods have lifted up. O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voices. The floods lift up their voice, or their waves. That's all they can do. The Lord on high is mighty than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becomes thine house, O Lord, forever. Give me just one more. Just five in that one? Okay. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Now, who's the house? Are we holy? Yes. No matter what we even think. No matter even what we do sometimes. See, because the contradiction is in us that's not yet been saved. It doesn't mean we're not saved. It means that our salvation is continually coming. As we let His voice continually interfere with our lives, and we begin to interject what He wants us to say instead of what we were saying before. I was dealing with this one man, and I mean, he's a lunatic in his thinking. I mean, he's warped. And Walmart. And almost, because you know, you ever hear a bunch of lies and you just want to take and just squish the liar? Everyone do that? Well, I do. But you know what? In a split second of time, as I was going to answer his ridiculous question, the Holy Ghost inside of me spoke to me. Ever have that happen to you? You ever have your inside speak to you? And said, son, bring peace to the situation. He's highly troubled and confused. So, what would bring the remedy? telling them that all of the things that he just said was a bunch of baloney? And then you need to check and see what kind of an information bank you got going on in your head. So I started just finding out if he went to church, or if he was in trouble, or if he was sick, or if he was in need. You know all them people that came to Jesus? All them Jews that came to Jesus? They were all sick. Sick in the head. And you know what the alarming thing is? They went to the synagogue every Sunday and heard the Word of God. Man, if he's made me aware, he's made me aware of this. Gordy, you know that every Sunday they read the Word? Every Sunday they got up and they read the Word? Those people knew what the Word said. They heard it. In fact is, they were actually, their whole educational system came out of the 150th Psalm, was the Hebrew alphabet. They knew all these things. But knowing them wasn't going to save them. And for us, knowing them isn't going to just save us. Now, we got to know them, but we got to take it one step further. We got to be willing to let it take and play a kingship part in our life, and a role in our life. And now, instead of us doing what we've always done, and doesn't seem to be bad, but it could be better. And in order for it to be better, we're going to have to make some changes, and we're going to have to respond to a better voice. And it will always challenge us to how do you do it? I do not want you to just hear a lecture and not give you an ability to approach it, and an ability to take it home with you, an ability to practice it tomorrow. I'm going to challenge you to start to speak to some of your situations with your own mouth, with the boldness of the Lord, and watch and see if He won't start turning things around for you. Big time. You know I'm hard on character, don't you? But I'm not a dictator over it. I just know that if bad character continues, you're in for a rough time. Don't mean that God isn't going to, that you're lost. But you're going to have a rough time. And if you can get God's character working in you, I know that it won't be long and your rough times will be gone. No matter what the circumstances are you might be in, whether they're good or bad, if we be willing to hear Him, He will give us the words that will not only help other people, but in the midst of it, it also helps me. It also helps you. What do you think that did for me when instead of giving this guy the truth and revealing all the lies that he was speaking, but not doing that because it wouldn't accomplish anything? Well, what will? Tell them the truth? Not at this point. At this point in his life, he's hurting so bad and he's so afraid that the only thing that's possessing him is his fear and no hope and destitute. So then you put a little goodness in. And you put a little mercy in. And you'll be surprised. And that's all you can do. But then somebody else comes along and does the same thing. And the next thing you know, they'll be doing it. I love the Florida with the old people because, I mean, they're getting hit on every chance. They're getting hit all the way around. And the kids don't care. As long as they can make a living for another day. But I'm telling you what, The older people, they're not getting raises. They're not. None of this stuff is happening to them. And they've been on the earth longer than any kids. They know what's going on. And so I made it my point to give them some encouragement, to help them along the way, to build them up. That's what I want you to do. I want you to do it in all your generations. We are not defeated, beloved. We are the children of God. Let's go to Proverbs 3 and 2 real quick. And we'll just go there. And we'll finish this off because the time's getting away from me. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Honey, you better go up to 1 and 2 there on that one. My son, forget not my laws, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they be, shall they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the tables of thine heart. Mind, heart, both psuche and emotionally. So shalt thou find favor and of good understanding in the sight of God and of men. And we can stop right there. There's something that you should take and make a note of and begin to memorize it. Because these are actually like, they'd be like a wallet. I don't have my wallet on me. When you go to McDonald's and they ask, they give you your food, what else do they ask for after they give you your food or when they take your order? Do they want money? Do they have a price for everything? Should you have the money there? Okay. Go back up one verse, two verses. Go back up to two. Go back up to one. My son, forget not the laws, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Those two things there are not, they're not like something that is drudgery or something like that. They actually are of value, or they're economic structure to you. They're money in your pocket. They're not just for you to observe. But they're for you to help other people know that if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. Hallelujah. And that laws of the Lord will always bring prosperity. It will meet your need. You will have goodness. You will have mercy. You will have truth. Glory to God. Okay, go back to my notes, honey. Because I got a couple more. Hallelujah. Now this one's going to be adding to you. So Proverbs 3:16. You got to go up a couple. Just want to see this. Because this works down to this. For the merchant of it is better. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. And the gain thereof of fine gold. What? Go up one more. Let's see where we're going to go with this. Look at this. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now, hit the next one. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than gold. See how easy that is to understand? It's wonderful. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Now, like it's her. Because and I won't go there. One more, honey. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches in honor. Look at that. Her right hand, there's longevity. I mean, it's going to last here. This is a lasting situation. And what's in her left hand? It's wonderful. Look at what riches and honor. Your long life is going to be full of riches and honor. And we found out what they were, didn't we? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, honey, go back to my note. You want these? I mean, you should be writing these down. These will really help you out. In Ephesians 3, 6 and 3. And we can go there, and that'll be the last one. And I'm keeping this timely. Glory to God. I can't help it. The word just keeps churning in me. It just keeps becoming more and more and more alive. Go up to 1, honey. 6 and 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Hear what it says there? We say obey your parents, but it says obey your parents in the Lord. You see, what if your parents was telling you to do bad stuff? They forget this in the Lord thing. But so there's an instruction there that you children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Go to 2. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So you want a promise of God in your life and have it secured? Obey your parents in the Lord, and you know nobody can stop that promise of life from coming unto you, because really he promised us eternal life. He promised us the best of everything in honor and in glory. The next one, hon. And you could just take this and really do something with it. That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. So you can know that you can live long on the earth. And so, hallelujah. Hope this has been a word of encouragement. I know it has, because it's been a word of encouragement for me. And I just want to get you to where you don't just come and go, or you aren't ready to just go home or go someplace and do nothing. And never go any further. Just hear a word of the Lord, and that's sufficient. To me, I might as well stay home. The fact. When we come to church, we need to come expecting. Not only do we need to come expecting, we need to also know that we've been praying, there's been prayers that are being answered and stuff like that, and that we are working as a body of people, and that call some of your friends, get some of your friends here and stuff like that. It's time for us to build this church. It's not built on just coming out of obligation. I mean, Tony's working with a group right now, and they don't want nothing to do with the church. It's proven they don't want nothing to do with it, because they haven't joined themselves to anything. And if you really want to know where they are, they're in the book of Judges. And after Judges came the kings. And it wasn't a good picture for Israel as a nation, because they stopped being a nation when they started doing their own things. Fact. How we're a nation is when we all come together. And so, and I love it. I love the way you do it. I pray that you're getting something out of this, and that you're going to take it tomorrow and use it. Let's stand.